Hello and welcome to Roll for Topic, a roundtable discussion about topics related to running role-playing games. I'm Chris Salzman.
And I'm Andy Rao.
Andy, last week was spring break for my children, and so we went down to this place called Hocking Hills in Ohio. Have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Okay. So, with all respect to Ohio, once we got down there, I was like, this isn't Ohio? right. Yeah. It is this like gorgeous area, kind of in the middle of the state, a little bit south of Columbus. That like it looks like the glaciers just sort of stopped their march of progress sort of down south there. Huh. So it's like all of these like hills. I mean, they're not mountains, right? Like, you know, they're, you know, these really big hills.
Yeah.
All of these rock structures down there too. So like these huge, like, yeah, huge rock structures. I mean, like you're kind of driving down this like hilly road and they'll just be like this cliff face kind of going up 100 feet, you know, off on either side, that sort of stuff. And then like, yeah. And so like the reason we went down there is because there's all these like natural caves with these waterfalls and stuff.
Oh,
so
hey.
It just was like, it was this really delightful experience. We were down there for about 4 days and like every day was like going to see some gorgeous, you know, natural cave with this waterfall, you know, waterfall feature. And, you know, there's a ton of them out there too. I mean, it's just like, you know, as someone who is from the Midwest, so I grew up in Illinois and now I live in Michigan, where I probably like never really lived more than 50 feet above sea level my entire life. Right. I mean, it was just like, it was kind of awe inspiring, like wandering around out there.
Huh. So are these caves, are they big caves? Can you hike around in them?
Yeah. It's not like, I mean, fans of the podcast will know that you went to like the Mammoth Cave. Like,
yeah,
you know,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not like that. It's like, you know, there's a handful of tunnels and, you know, stuff like that, but it's really just these like really big, like, they are technically caves, but they're these massive like outcroppings, right? So like the one that really stuck out to me was this place called Ash Cave, which is, I think I'm gonna get like the numbers a little bit wrong, it's like a 900 foot long cave, but it goes up like 100 feet in the air, something like that. So you just have like this huge thing of rock kind of like covering over you. And then, you know, at the lip of the top of that cave, there's just like, you know, water is kind of coming down and like, yeah, a couple of waterfalls here and there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's this fascinating place. Like I had no idea it was down there. We kind of picked it. Picked it at random because we were trying to find some place to go for spring break. And we're like, oh yeah, we should go down there. And like, we got there and just loved it. My kids are 10 and 5 and they had a ton of fun just hiking around every day too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was good. Which I want to get back to that in a little bit, but the other thing that I wanted to mention is, so we stayed at this place called Ravenwood Castle while we were down there.
Okay.
And I shared some pictures of this in the Discord. I mean, you can go and Google this as well, but it's someone like kind of, they built like this castle looking structure kind of in the middle of nowhere down near Hocking Hills. So it's got like kind of like four towers and then kind of a middle area, which is like a great room. And it's all styled to kind of look like this pastiche of kind of like medieval, you know, castle thing.
Yeah. Right?
They have like a pub down in the basement that has, you know, a bunch of stonework and stuff like that. And then they have this really like this big gaming room, right? Like, so this game room with like, you know, floor to ceiling bookshelves full of like a bunch of fantasy and other genre fiction books and stuff. They've got board games like everywhere on the grounds at this place too. So like if you want to pick up a board game, it's just kind of like, you know, free library. You just go and grab whatever you're interested in. You know, tons of places to sit down and play games and stuff. And then outside of the castle are all these like little like cabins and cottages and stuff that are themed like kind of like Ren Faire style, right?
Sure.
Like there's like a spinster cottage, and so we stayed in the brewer's cabin, right? You know, and stuff like that, where it's like, it's a very light theme, but it was like this very interesting place to be because it felt like, I don't know, I'm sure you've had this experience too, where you sort of like, you walk into like a very like nerdy, like a con or something like that, and you're like, oh, like I don't have to explain myself at all here, right? Like people understand. At one point, you know, I saw some other guests who were staying there that were dressed up like they were going to a Ren Faire, right? Like, and it just was like, oh yeah, of course, like why wouldn't you, right? You're staying in a castle, that sort of thing. But yeah, so I come to find out this is a place that, so there's a podcaster, Travis McElroy, he's on My Brother and Me and The Adventure Zone. He is part of a con that gets run there once a year as well. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Cool. I don't know. Yeah, have you ever had that? Have you ever been to like, yeah, do you do B&Bs? Is that something that your family does?
We have never anything like with a particular theme to it though.
Yeah. Yeah, this was cool. It made me wish that something like that, I don't know, like I wish there was more of those, or I wish it was a little bit closer. I mean, like the thought that I had was, oh, it'd be really great to do like a Roll for Topic con down here sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was cool. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, that was a long preamble about my travels and stuff. But I wanted to ask you, and I think this is the thing we want to talk about today, is like, you know, so I just saw all these like beautiful caves and stuff. Of course, I got my GM brain going about like, you know, like, okay, you know, tactically, like, what would you do here? You know, if there was a goblin, you know, ambush coming up over the, you know, the top of this cave mouth, stuff like that. So I'm wondering, have you ever tried to bring in a real world location into your games? Right. Either just like kind of a one-off place for, you know, combat, or, you know, something even, I don't know, like, yeah, even more nuanced or more direct than that.
I have, but probably not in the sense you're asking about.
Okay. Yeah.
When I was younger, I ran a lot of the top secret RPG, which is a sort of James Bond espionage type of RPG, and we would use real locations in that RPG.
Oh, okay.
But they were real, like, you know, human constructed locations, like O'Hare Airport or something. not a real cave or something like that.
Yeah. Did that work pretty well? I mean, like, yeah, like O'Hare Airport. I mean, had you all been there before? So you sort of roughly knew.
So comically, none of us had been to O'Hare, so I just made up what. So I just ran, you know, the version of O'Hare Airport that I had in my head. Yeah. Now I've, you know, as an adult now, I've been through O'Hare many times, but as a kid, I had no idea what it was like. So I just, you know, I just ran it as what is the, you know, huge international airport. Yeah. What is that? You know? So
yeah, you didn't get in the minutia of how awful it is to park there, or, you know, pick someone up when you need to, and like
exactly. No, so I run a lot of Call of Cthulhu, which is set in the real world, and I do try to achieve, you know, some historical accuracy about the places that those games take place in. So I hunt around for photos of, you know, if they're of the train station in New York or wherever. But outside of, you know, that specific historical, that game, which is rooted in a specific historical time period, I do not really use real world stuff in my games.
Yeah. Yeah. Like going to these caves and stuff. I mean, like I took a bunch of pictures while we were there, and I will admit that some of them were like, oh, well, maybe I'll use this as a reference photo, you know, later.
Yeah.
If I need to. Right. It's interesting. I think like when you're reading like a, you know, D&D module or whatever, right? Like they, you know, you have like the description of the cave and stuff. I think for me, it's like, I don't spend a lot of time out in nature, let's be honest, like, especially not in caves and stuff. Right. So getting that, like that real world sense of like, oh, this is like sort of what it actually feels like to be inside these places. I mean, I think you might even mention this about like, you know, Mammoth Cave and stuff, but like the temperature differences were really, really like weird, right? Like you'd be walking and all of a sudden be like 10 degrees warmer, 10 degrees colder, just based on sort of like where you were in the area.
Like when is the last, you know, like D&D dungeon you ran where it was like the temperature, when you crossed the threshold into the dungeon, the temperature drops by like 15 degrees, right? Yeah. Like when do you get that sort of detail? But those are the details you notice when you actually are stepping into a cave, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, it's instant, right? It's instant. Or like, you know, the spray of the waterfall kind of coming down on you. Like, right. There's like all these like little details that I think would be nice to bring to the table. But like, it doesn't, I mean, right. Like until I think you experience it sort of in real life, it's hard to like bring out at the table, I think. Like, you wouldn't think to be like, oh, there's going to be these weird temperature differences, right? Until you go and experience that.
Right. And I mean, from my memories of Mammoth Cave, you know, the number one thing that was on my mind was lighting. Without lighting, you're dead. You're dead. Even if there are no goblins waiting to ambush you, if you don't have a light, you're going to die in that cave.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is this, you know, old D&D did tend to talk more about the logistics of like lighting and torches and lanterns and how long they can do. And, you know, when you actually visit one of these locations in real life, you realize, oh, the actual challenge of exploring a cave is not whatever you run into and have to fight in there. It's mm-hmm. whether or not you are able to light your way through yes. the cave, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So, yeah.
And I mean, a lot of RPGs have tried different ways to make that fun, you know, because mm-hmm. that's the challenge with an RPG, right? Like, it might be realistic, but is it fun, right? So, yes. is it yeah. fun to like have to manage a light source? Well, some games think that it is. And so games like Shadow Dark kind of make a gamey element out of timing how long your torches last.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, generally speaking, a lot of the stuff that actually strikes you when you go into a cave is not stuff that games are all that great at making fun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my kids had this very innate instinct of like, oh, we need walking sticks when we got there too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. And like, I don't know, like, I mean, I did too, but that's because I'm, you know, I'm in my 40s and my
yes, you physically require it yes, to stay yeah. upright. Yes.
Yeah. I was trying to be all tough. And then, you know, we got to one place called Rock House, which was like, it had some pretty steep climbs and stuff, and there's one point where I did have to squeeze through a couple rocks. I had to take my backpack off to get,
oh,
get
okay.
through them.
Yeah,
yeah, it, and like, yeah, and I was just like, oh, like I actually do need a walking stick, right? You know, like my yeah. knee kind of hurts this week after getting there. But like, yeah, that's I mean, it is interesting, right? Like, you know, because of course, sure, right, if I had to, you know, draw a sword and have some sort of combat with with a goblin
yeah.
while I was in the cave, that would be one thing. But like, I mean, even just the sheer act of navigating yeah. the place, like not getting lost, like, I mean, right, there was, you know, there were signs everywhere we went, you know, about like which trail to stay on and stuff like that. But I mean, you can very quickly think through like, okay, well, what if you didn't have those signs? And it was like, you're here, yeah. you know, you need to get across this area, and it's very treacherous. It's like, that's gonna be, that is a challenge in and of itself, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like, you've got the torches, you've got the terrain, like that, like rations would be an actual big deal and stuff, right? Like, I mean, my kids complained about not having snacks and stuff, right? It's
of
like,
course, yeah, this
yeah. Is, yeah. yeah, which I mean, they would do like, even we were inside the cabin and stuff, but right, it is like a thing that you'd have to think through, like those logistics and stuff.
Yeah. Well, hearing yeah. you talk about, you know, you had to take your backpack off to squeeze through a narrow space. Have mm-hmm. you seen, my go-to example for this is the horror movie, The Descent. Have you seen that one?
I think you've recommended that to me, and I keep on thinking that maybe one day I'll be brave enough to watch it.
I don't know if it's a movie for you, Chris, yeah. but that is a movie. So this group of women goes into this, spelunkers goes into this cave network,
mm-hmm.
and halfway through they discover that there's like monsters down there with them.
Okay. Yeah.
But nice. When they discover the monsters are down there with them, the scariness like actually goes down because the tension of just like, how am I going to squeeze through the space? How are we going to get across this chasm? That sort of stuff is so tense and so thrilling that when the actual monsters come up, you're like, oh, all right. Now okay, they got to fight yeah. some monsters. Right.
Yeah.
And like, that's like the opposite, like D&D type games have never managed to make the exploration of a real space as thrilling as fighting the goblins that live in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. I get it, but also I don't know how I would make it thrilling to be like, you can probably squeeze through this, but you'll have to take your backpack off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that doesn't seem very thrilling. When you watch that unfold on a screen or when you walk through the cave and experience it yourself, you realize this is the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. Like that moment where I had to take my backpack off I felt like so exposed, even though it was literally off for 2 seconds, something like that. Like it was not yeah. a big deal. Right. Like this wasn't like some sort of get on your belly and crawl through a narrow opening and, you know, hold your breath sort of thing. It was just like, you know, I had to kind of duck under something. And if, you know, I had to take my backpack off to do it, you know, but it did feel like it felt so strange and like, right. Like, and especially, you know, you get used to kind of having your backpack on your back and like, yeah. Right. And then you don't have that all of a sudden. It's like, oh like,
yeah. yeah,
that feels like somewhat of a loss. I mean, I'm probably just exposing myself as a very weak hiker, but it's like, yeah. But I mean, like that is right. You're right on. Like, yeah, you get into a game situation. That's like, oh, you got to take off your backpack, you know, your backpack to get through that area. It's like, well, okay, sure. You know, how can yeah. you make that more interesting?
Well, there's when I was I mean, many years ago when I was younger, I went spelunking a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And have you ever like gone spelunking, like where you're crawling around in a cave?
No, no, this is my actual worst nightmare. Yeah. So okay. No, I would never.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we're in the most safe. It was one of the most intense experiences of my entire life. And mm-hmm. we were never in any danger whatsoever. Like yeah. we had a guide with us. Although occasionally the guide would be like, I'm going to go off this way. You guys press on ahead. I'll meet up with you at some point. And it was like, don't do that. Like, yeah. please don't do that. Yeah. You know, these utterly, from a spelunking perspective, you know, these utterly routine experiences of like, how am I going to squeeze through this space? I have to shimmy down this, like, you know, I have to wedge myself between these two surfaces. Mm-hmm. That, you know, literally the most exhilarating and terrifying moments of your life.
Yeah.
And nothing in that is ever conveyed in like a D&D, like you're exploring a cave, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah. And there's good reasons for that, but like, how do you gamify the experience of like, my light just went out and I have lost all sense of orientation, or I have no sense of where I am in space, mm-hmm. and I am about to have a panic attack. Like yes. How do you do that in like D&D, right?
Yeah, I don't know if you can, and I'm also wondering if like, yeah, I don't know if you can in any system, really. Like, right? I don't know if is that just a limitation of the hobby, right? Like, or is it?
Well,
a limitation of our imagination about how we're describing or you know handling the mechanics at the table.
It's just interesting. I mean, like a goblin that runs into the cave with you that you have to fight. I mean, there's like it just seems easier to create a system to resolve that crisis, mm-hmm. right? It might be a little scary when the goblin rushes in, but we have like the system that clearly resolves the crisis. We just don't have systems, even games that track, you know, sanity and stress levels and stuff like that. There's no way to convey that to the player so mm-hmm. that the player actually feels that thrill. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I do wonder if it's just a limitation.
Yeah.
Of this hobby, but it just seems unfortunate that it's like to make cave exploring this unmapped cave exciting, we have to put a goblin in it, mm-hmm. you know, when in real life exploring that unmapped cave would be the most terrifying thing you've ever done.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It almost makes me wonder if, because I think a lot of that exploration of the cave is a very physical sensation, right? Like, I mean, you mentioned like, you know, a panic attack, like, right. It's like, I think, you know, unless you've had one, it's hard to sort of describe exactly what that feels, right? And then also like, yeah, just the sense of like, what does it feel like really to have kind of the, you know, the rock pressed against your back and your chest at the same time, right? Like, and I think you can kind of like, you can maybe narrate that, but unless you're really physically feeling that sensation, I think it can be hard to have that feel like it has the sort of stakes that, you know, that might make a player be like, oh, I want either more of that or, you know, want more of that in my game, right? Like, I mean, you could maybe manufacture some of that. It's like, okay, like if you're squeezing through this or you get stuck in the cave, it's like, okay, great. Like you now have to, I don't know, huddle under your chair or something until we can get you out.
Yeah.
Kind of like make them have to do something in the physical world that represents that. But
defeating the goblin might take 5 die rolls, right? Mm-hmm. But you like roll a d20 5 times, and at the end of those 5 rolls, you've done enough damage to kill the goblin and you've overcome that obstacle.
Yeah.
Squeezing through a narrow crack might also take 5 die rolls of the d20. Why does one of those appear in every D&D module ever published, mm-hmm. and the other appears in none of them? Like, what's right? I mean, like, if it, from a game perspective, you know, why isn't it very scary to be like, all right, you've got to scale, you've got to squeeze through this section, give me 3 agility checks in a row to make it. Why does that like feel boring and dumb, and rolling 3 d20s in a row to deal enough hit point damage to the goblin to kill it, mm-hmm. we all consider exciting?
Yeah, I mean, it might just be a sense of like a problem of like, is it dynamic enough, right? It's like, so you're rolling to kind of do whatever, the 3 agility checks in a row, right? It's like, and I think you can narrate that in a way that's fun, But it also doesn't, it feels sort of like a pass fail every time versus like a, oh, you get that one wrong. Like maybe you still advance, but you know, you take a couple damage because I don't know, something yeah. hurts you. Right. I think it might feel like it's not a reactive sort of thing. Right. Like it's not like the game is sort of reacting to like what you're doing. It's more just like a, oh, well, I've just got to make these rolls to get through. I mean, like as you're kind of describing that scenario, I mean, I can think about ways to make it more interesting. It's like, okay, you know, maybe half of your party is on one side of the rock and like you're on the other. And it's like, well, they get in a fight and it's like, okay, the fight's going on. It's going to take you three turns to get, you know, squeeze through that thing in order to join them. Right. Unless you decide to, you know, take off your armor, take off your backpack, leave your sword behind.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of stuff. Then you can get there in one. It's like, you know, is that a good trade-off? Right. So I think there's probably ways to gamify that, but it's probably always going to be in service of whatever the core concept of the game is, right? So like D&D's core concept is combat, right? Unless there's combat happening, I think everything else is going to feel maybe less than in those scenarios. So you're really just sort of, you know, adding on top of that combat, right? It's like, yeah, like so like one thing that occurred to me when I was, you know, standing in one of these caves was like, oh, like if I had a big sword or something, like you wouldn't have any room to swing it.
Right.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't have any room to swing it. Like you'd have to kind of like stab forward, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of your only option, or you wouldn't even be able to maneuver it at all. Right. So like there's some of that sense of space that I think you could really play with well, but it requires a kind of a spatial knowledge that maybe I don't have. I'm sure some other people do, to really think through all the ramifications of like, yeah, what does that mean?
And it sounds kind of tedious, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm just trying to think how you would model that. And I'm picturing like a fairly simulationist game like GURPS, you know, and why does that sound boring to play through in a game when it would be, you know, your heart would be racing in real life as you realize you can't swing your sword here.
Yeah.
Like you're incredibly limited in your like combat options.
Yes.
And a thing is running at you, you know, like how terrifying would that actually be? How have we lost that, like that visceral thrill?
I know. Yeah. Like I'm even thinking like, you know, so like, let's say you, I don't know, just to kind of spin that out further. Like, let's say you were squeezing through some sort of gap, you know, as a party or something, you could get into a scenario where it's like, I can't even reach my sword, right? So like one of your teammates might have to reach it for you, pull it out, hand it to you somehow and maneuver it around in order for you to do, you know, do whatever your action is, right? It's like, I mean, that does sound really thrilling and like really interesting. And that could create lots of complexity for the players to sort of figure out clever solutions to. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I think you'd have to have a pretty concrete idea, I think, of what the space looks like and how people are moving through it, which does lead to maybe you need something like GURPS or something that is really like tightly controlled about like, okay, so each kind of like, you know, square on the map, like this is exactly like how much room you have to your left, your right, your top, your bottom, right? Yeah. Like as you're moving through the tunnel. Yeah, which I mean, I'm not saying you couldn't do in D&D. It would be a different style of game than I'm used to playing and running.
So here's my question for you. So when I was a kid running spy games where they were running around O'Hare fighting terrorists, I was creating a fantasy version of what O'Hare Airport is. Now that I've been to O'Hare, I've spent the night at O'Hare.
You have?
I have, yes.
Like huddled up in a corner.
If you want to talk about like creepy liminal spaces,
yes.
Sleep overnight at an airport. Yeah. Like anyway. So now that, you know, now that I've spent a good chunk of my life in O'Hare, I would run that differently. Yeah. So how will you run your next D&D, like we're going into this network of caves where the kobolds live? How will you run that differently now that you spent time in real caves?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yes. I think the big thing that I would really kind of put a fine point on is that like fall damage is real damage, right?
It's like, oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, again, so I've got a 5-year-old. So we spent like half of the trip when we were hiking being like, you know, get away from that edge, please.
Like, yes. Please, of course.
Yeah. Like, I know you feel like you're invincible and like you just want to see what's over there, but do not like, right? Like that is.
Ignore like, every instinct of you is trying to destroy yourself.
Yes,
like try and like suppress that for a few minutes.
I'm like, here. You know, I'm just like, you know, this is my own anxieties too, but I'm just like seeing like, oh, there's that route here. You're going to trip over that and then go down like this 50-foot thing. And then, yeah. Anyway. So there is like that element of it. Like I think I've previously been pretty, I don't know, like kind of annoyed with fall damage, or like, you know, like what's, you know, what's the big deal with this? But like, I think that's pretty important. I think so. I would draw that out. I think I'd also, yeah, like I was just mentioning with like, you know, do you even have room to swing your sword? That sort of stuff, like those kind of environmental things that you need to think about, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, like you don't have room to do that, or like you're an archer, it's like, well, this, you don't have a clear shot, right? Like it's, you can only see, you know, you've only got a clear 5 feet in front of you before the passageway kind of twists and turns and stuff, right? So I think there's a lot of those things that I think you could bring out just to make even the experience of like kind of a small three to five room dungeon pretty yeah, interesting there. Yeah, so I think those are the main things that really stick out to me. I mean, I think the other thing is too, and I know this has been like I think talked about quite extensively with kobolds in particular, is like, right, like they're smart creatures, right? And especially if this is their home turf, they're gonna have ways to get around that you don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So I think like, yeah, whereas the characters might only be able to move, you know, 10 feet a turn or whatever, the kobolds can probably move 20 or 30, right? Like, so I think I would start playing with some of those things as well, because it's like it's their home turf.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
well, like what strikes me is like there really is value in going out, and I mean, when you're a GM and you're getting ready to present your players with whatever, exploring the dungeon or mm-hmm. exploring a cave system, there's like, it really is worth going out and doing that to some extent, because mm-hmm. if you can just bring back like one or two real life details, like the whole, like the temperature is like 15 degrees colder in here than it was,
yeah,
10 feet behind you,
yeah,
like that's a real life detail that I do think adds a lot to the mm-hmm. game experience, right?
Yeah.
And so like you can't, you're not going to come back, you're not going to run your next D&D cave exploring game with this like rigidly realistic cave exploration system, but mm-hmm. you are gonna have a better idea of what it's like to have a light source in mm-hmm. a cave full of stalactites.
Yes.
And how limited your visibility is, you know, like that is one detail that you can bring mm-hmm. that I bet will make that a lot more exciting for your players mm-hmm. next time they're exploring a kobold cave, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah. Yeah. And again, you've brought up in the past too, like how the fate system has sort of these, like, you know, these adjectives or whatever that you can kind of apply
yes.
to places. Like, you know, there's like a handful of things like, yeah, hey, keep this in mind. Like, you're in this place, like it is whatever, decrepit. It's, you know, there isn't a lot of room to maneuver. Or just yeah. a few of those things, I think can really enliven the experience, right? Because it's like, you say like, okay, you're going into a cave. I think everybody has sort of a sense of like what that means to them. But yeah, any way that you can kind of ground it in like, this is what's happening there, you know, or this is how this one is unique from all the other ones that you've played games in, I think is yeah, gonna be super helpful. So
yeah, so right. I guess the moral of the story is, if you're a D&D GM, you have the moral obligation to go find a cave and crawl through it before yes, you run yeah, your next game,
yeah,
right?
Really? Yeah, you do. You also have a moral obligation to go fight and kill a dragon before you...
that's yes, right. Yeah. Or spend a night in O'Hare Airport yes, so that you yeah. can...
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, that will do it for us. Yeah, so sorry, yeah, thanks Andy, this has been really good. Thanks for letting me kind of talk about my trip.
I love to hear it.
Yeah, cool. Well, I think that will do it for us. You can go listen to Andy on his other show, Zombie Strains with John Corey. Indeed. There's been some chatter recently in Discord that we're in about, I guess, like, what was it, the most recent movie you watched had a Dracula talking about a werewolf.
Yes. Dr. Terror's Gallery of Horror. So that's yeah, such a not, name. There's not, it's not on a Criterion Collection Blu-ray. So yeah, let's put it that way.
I'm going to love it. Like, once you guys ascend enough and you get to go do the Criterion Closet and you just kind of walk in and be like, there's nothing, no good stuff in here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that will do it for us. I've been Chris Salzman.
I've been Andy Rao.
And remember, if your player's having fun, you're a great GM. Thank you.